Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Dr. Carolyn Clancy, Director, Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, which is in the Department of Health and Human Services. Good morning, Dr. Clancy.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation is Venetia Lee, also from IBM. Good morning, Venetia.
Good morning.
Well, Dr. Clancy, I'm curious, could you describe the mission of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality for our listeners?
I'd be delighted. The Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, or ARC as we call it, is a research agency that's part of HHS, as you noted. And our mission is to improve the quality, safety, efficiency, and effectiveness of healthcare for all Americans. In other words, we conduct and support research and work with partners to use the findings to make sure that healthcare is itself made as good as possible.
Dr. Clancy, how does ARC fit into the Department of Health and Human Services?
We're one of the 13 agencies of HHS, which is a very large department, and one of a smaller number of research agencies. So we work very closely with a number of the other agencies in the department, particularly the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, National Institutes of Health, the Food and Drug Administration, and we also work with the Health Resources and Services Administration, or HRSA, with their community health centers and so forth.
How would you describe the size of ARC? Budget, employees? How would you?
Our budget is $304 million, and we have just under 300 employees, so I often tell everyone that they're a million-dollar employee.
and you describe so many interesting things when you're going through the mission. What are the skill sets of the employees?
Oh, very, very broad mix. The research we support and do internally is actually multidisciplinary, so it draws on clinical sciences, so we have doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals, including pharmacists. We also have a very broad array of social scientists, quite a few economists, sociologists, psychologists, and so forth. We also have people with a broad array of administrative skills.
What are the major areas of research currently being funded by ARC?
A big, big focus for us is patient safety. You may have seen the Institute of Medicine's report that was first report on patient safety published in 1999, To Err Is Human. When that report first came out, my brother-in-law had knee surgery about a month later, and he came home with yes on one knee and no on the other, and suddenly my family knew that what we did was, like, absolutely critical. Patient safety and errors, I think, are that tangible to members of the public. That's a big part of what we do. A lot of the research we support focuses on improving quality of care broadly, also focuses on promoting access to effective services. So we support a lot of data development that we use internally and that many others use as well to try to track what we're spending on healthcare. Are we getting as much value as we could for our pretty substantial investment in healthcare services in this country? And we also focus on sort of the nuts and bolts of how to improve quality and safety in healthcare.
Why did you decide to even study medicine?
A really good question. I decided when I was much, much younger than I had any idea what doctors did, and I don't come from a medical family. But I think I had a gut instinct, which is still pretty relevant today, which is that it was about bringing scientific skills to a job where you could work with people, and that's still very much what I like about medicine.
Can you tell us about your experience as a Henry Kaiser Family Foundation Fellow?
Sure.
At the University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I'd be delighted. When I was doing my residency, I think I didn't really have a clear career plan in mind. I thought I'd go into practice, but really hadn't given it much thought at that point. Being up on call every third night, most of my thoughts were about sleep. A faculty member came to me and suggested that I consider academic medicine. And he said, if you don't want to do that, that's fine, but you need to make a decision because I think you'd be really good at it. And my problem, of course, was that I thought all the subspecialties of internal medicine, like oncology and cardiology and so forth, I thought they were all great up to a point. The minute it got to bench and lab research, I was a little bit less interested. And then I found out that the Kaiser Foundation was supporting fellowships in general medicine. And in particular, During this two-year period, you would learn more about doing research. And at that point in time, I'd gotten very interested in clinical decision-making. How do you make decisions when you've got a multiple array of factors, both related to the patient as well as the particular problem? Internists specialize in diagnosis, so that had a lot of appeal to me. In addition to that, the fellowship also gave us some time to learn how to teach. In medicine, that's sometimes sort of assumed that you've watched the people ahead of you, so you know how to do it automatically, but this was a little bit more focused attention to that. So the fellowship was really fabulous. I actually got to go back to my birthplace, and I met a terrific mentor, John Eisenberg, who ran the program, and subsequently he and I worked together again at the agency in 1997.
Can you tell us how you started with the federal government and a little bit about your progression, your career's progression?
Sure. When I finished my fellowship in Philadelphia, I took a job in Richmond, Virginia, at the Medical College of Virginia, which is now part of Virginia Commonwealth University. And it was great. I got to teach and do research and also see patients, and I also ran the medical clinic for the residents. Because of my interest in clinical decision-making, I became very interested in kind of research which actually launched the agency in 1989, which was looking at variations in practice. There was work going on in northern New England done by Jack Wenberg and others showing that if you lived in one county, you were more likely to have surgical procedures done than if you lived in a neighboring county. So, for example, you were more likely to reach age 50 with an intact uterus, very much influenced by where you lived. And I thought this was quite amazing. And one of the theories underlying trying to explain the variations in practice was that you saw the greatest variation where the scientific knowledge base was least well developed. So it isn't that people were guessing or flipping coins about what to do. The knowledge base just wasn't that good. And part of the genesis of creating a new agency in 1989 was indeed to develop a better knowledge base and to use that knowledge to help clinicians make better decisions. So that was a very good fit for my interests.
And then how did you get to be the director?
I think some of my staff think just longevity. When I first came there to work in the primary care group, because that is the kind of practice I do and still find it very, very intriguing. This is when people come in and you get to translate often vaguely defined symptoms. I don't feel good, or I'm weak, or I'm tired, and try to figure out what's going on, and I still find that utterly fascinating. So they were starting a primary care research group, and we know very, very little about the natural history of a lot of these symptoms, as well as how to make good decisions in primary care. So I thought that was terrific, and I eventually became director of that group. And then one of my colleagues left, so I switched and ended up directing another center focusing on outcomes and effectiveness research. Now, the two areas are somewhat related, outcomes and results of healthcare. You would think we know about that because we're always hearing about information in healthcare. Oh, good, you got a lab test and you're better. These end results are really focused much more on the patient's perspective. So for many chronic illnesses, for example, we assume that if your lab test is better, so are you. This is actually trying to figure out if that's true and developing better measures, which are usually very short surveys, to get the patient's perspective on healthcare. And then in 2002, John Eisenberg passed away very young from a terminal illness, and at that point, Secretary Thompson asked me to become acting director, and a year later appointed me as permanent director.
Tell me about your own career, because as you describe your progression, I saw your early years as a practitioner delivering medicine, and now you're a director, so I'm guessing you do less of that, but more direct people who actually do the research and the like. Is that correct to say in terms of the progression from doing versus managing?
That's true. I started off in an academic job, so I was doing a little bit of everything, some patient care, some administration because I was the medical director for our clinic and directed the residents' education there, which was a lot of fun. And in addition to that, I also developed some early programs to try to assess the quality of care we were providing and to put in place some strategies to try to improve that care, which is a big part of what we do at the agency. So, again, there was sort of a natural link between what I was doing then. And I spent a fair amount of time in direct patient care. When I came to the agency, I still continued to see patients a half a day a week, but Because I had fewer distractions, if you will, from the demands of clinical care or people calling at odd times and so forth, I had a lot more time to write. So in terms of doing research, it was a very productive time for me. But you'd be right. Right now, I tend to direct more or try to make sure that the various projects fit together, that we're not missing pieces and so forth.
How would you compare the different management skills you use as a doctor versus now as the director?
Well, it's interesting. In some ways, particularly in my administrative role at the Medical College of Virginia, they're very similar, trying to get people to work effectively in teams. Medicine, culturally, is a very individual enterprise. You know, throughout medical school and training, the guiding metaphor is, you know, it's you and your patient, and you're going to figure out the problems and then ride off into the sunset, so to speak. In reality, much of medical care is very much a team sport. If I see a patient who needs help, I may need to draw in other colleagues. I'm going to need to be working with nurses and others. So to that extent, there's a lot of similarities. Clearly, you rarely see 300 patients in an exam room at one time. It would be more like a coliseum. But many of the issues are quite generic, I think, particularly as it relates to teamwork. Most of the research that we conduct and support draws on multiple disciplines.
That's an interesting point about the teamwork. What's the quality of care in our healthcare system and how might it be improved? We'll ask Dr. Carolyn Clancy, Director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, when the Business of Government Hour returns.